we have defined W or valid grades, which is a simplified version of the actual space that we need to get Cauchy Riemann out of it. So let me tell you the actual space that we use, which is along the same philosophy but a bit more complicated. And the abbreviate is WTF for W tangled foams. And what they are is tangled tubes in R4 with a certain kind of singular vertex and a feature called a cap, which I'll explain, and one-dimensional strings attached. And what I'll give you as a definition is a kind of Riedemeister description, which I'll write as a planar algebra. I'll explain what a planar algebra is in a moment. But first, let me be honest and say that this is a little bit of a lie. So this Riedemeister description, locally, certainly all the features and all the relations come from this topological, sort of the local topology. But the actual Riedemeister theorem, which says that this Riedemeister description is a Riedemeister description for this particular topological structure, is not quite proven. It's proven for braids. So it's true that this group presentation is actually the welded braid group, but here, the Riedemeister theorem is not proven yet. Actually, even for knots, it's not proven yet. So if somebody does that, I and I think also the drawer would be delighted. Alright, so let's tell you what this structure is. So I'll give you a bunch of generators and relations and operations. The generators are the crossings. Now I have to write both of them because there it was a group, so the other crossing is just the inverse in the group, but here it's no longer a group, so we need to draw both. The virtual crossing, which is still not interesting. The cap, which I've mentioned, the vertex. And then there's things involving strings. And the strings I'll draw red. So red means one-dimensional. To make sure I don't forget one of them. And then there are a bunch of relations and a bunch of operations.
So. But when you said that there is no Riedemeister theorem, this means that there might be more relations? Or
yes, so there's definitely a surjection, and some relations might be missed. And we are pretty sure that this is at least most of the relations, but we don't have a proof. So, you know, in just regular knot theory, if you miss the Riedemeister one relation somehow, that means you also have framing on the knots and some rotation number. So it might be that there's some extra combinatorial information on those things because we are missing a relation. But almost certainly this thing is a valid topological thing very closely along those lines. Okay, so first, let me tell you what a planar algebra is. Drawer sort of told you yesterday, but let me be a tiny bit more precise. So this is structure, they're where the elements are pictures which you can make out of these atomic pictures, and the way you make out of them is by applying planar algebra product given by connecting diagrams. And the connecting diagrams look like you have a big circle, and in it you have a bunch of holes, and there's some connections both between the holes and between the holes and the side of the circle. And then the way that you multiply in the planar algebra is you have a different multiplication for each of these diagrams. The word planar is because these connecting bits have to be planar so they can't cross each other. And then you put already existing pictures in the holes so that they connect. So you could put a vertex here and crossing here, and maybe some more complicated already existing thing here. And what you get is a new bigger picture. That's the planar algebra product. And that is now also an element of the planar algebra. Of course, it's a bit more complicated. There's orientations, there's these colors. Some things are white and some things are red, and those have to match, but let's ignore. So there's orientations and colors. Now, let's talk about the actual topology. So, all of these generators have a topological meaning. And for the first three, you already know what the meaning is. The actual crossings are the fly-through crossings. This is the do-nothing crossing. So switch places while avoiding each other. So here, of course, I'm talking about tubes, but tubes and flying rings are more or less the same thing. So I like to use the language of flying rings because I find that easiest to visualize. So when I say fly through, it means ring flies through another, but that's two tubes, not in that particular way. Cap. This is a tube to which you attach a cap. And in terms of rings, that is a ring that flies and then shrinks to a point and then disappears. Next one is the vertex. Now this is interesting. So this is a singular vertex. It's not a pair of pants. It is three tubes attached to each other in the following way. Now, this picture may or may not make sense, but if it doesn't make sense, then in terms of rings, it's two rings are flying, and then one of them flies inside the other, and then they merge, and they become one ring. So it can also be called a merge. So a pair of hands would be two rings fly together, then attach at a point, and then become one ring, but by that point separating, and this is not that. The half red vertices. This is a point twice The only red vertex is 2 points switch places while doing nothing interesting. You might notice that there's no vertex where the red is over the white, and that's because a ring cannot fly through a point. A point can fly through a ring, so the red also has to be under or virtual. And the only red vertex is what it looks like. That's nothing special, it's just three strings attached to each other. And this one is, there's a tube, and then there's a string attached to it. Alright, so of course you know that one-dimensional things cannot be knotted in R4. So just strings in R4 are not interesting, but one-dimensional things can be knotted with the two-dimensional. So the string can be knotted with the tube using this kind of vertex. And the relations, which I haven't drawn yet, but I will now. So these are very similar to what we had in the brief case, so just Rademeister moves. And there's tons of them, so now you have R2 as well, which was in the braid case, it was just like something times its inverse is 1, so that wasn't a relation that was included. VR2, R3, VR3, the mixed relation, the overcrossings commute relation, so this is all what we talked about before, and has the same topological explanation. You have the R4 relation, which describes how crossings behave with respect to vertices, and it's what you expect. You can pull a strand under a crossing, you can also do it over, you can also do it virtually. And if you think about it, what it means in terms of rings that fly, it makes perfect sense. There is the cap pullout relation, which says that you can pull a cap out from under a strand. Now, if you think about that for 1 second, this means that this ring flies through another ring and then disappears. Well, that's the same as not ever flying through at all. It just has to disappear a little bit earlier, so it's homotopy. But the other thing is not homotopy. The other thing is not a relation. So you can't pull a cap over a thing, because if the blue flies through the white and then the white disappears, you can't undo it. You can't pretend that the flying through never happened. Okay, that's all of the relations. And the operations. Well, of course, you have the.
You didn't mention all the red relations, but maybe it's better this way.
Yeah, so all the relations where you could make one of the strands red, you can. So all the Rademeister relations, if a strand only goes under or virtual, then you can make a friend.
So the strings are friend or unfriend?
Sorry?
The strings are friend or unfriend?
Friend.
Okay.
Everything friend. The tubes are framed as well. So of course you have the plane algebra operation, and on top of that you have orientation switch. This actually comes in two kinds, because orientations come in two kinds, but I'll skip that. You have the unzip operation, which now means if you draw it in terms of diagrams, it looks exactly the same. But if you think about what it means something a little bit different. So if you have a tube that ends in two vertices, you can double the tube along the framing. So this tube is the edge E. Then what you get is an outer tube and an inner tube, but they are not knotted in any significant way, so you can just pull them apart. And similarly, you can unzip a cap, so we call this disc unzip, which is if you have a cap, you can double the cap. And this is just two caps. And finally, there is a fun operation, which is called puncher. So this is the pop the balloon operation. These WTFs are like animal balloons with vertices, and then you can pop one section of the animal balloon and it just retracts to a string. So this becomes just a string attached. So if you draw it diagrammatically, you take a normal vertex and it becomes one of these mixed vertices. Now, think about this for a moment. If you take a mixed vertex and you puncture one of the edges which ends in it, then what does it become? So what this means is that there's a long tube thing, and to it there's a string attached, but when you pop this end, that string is not going to stop the pop. So the whole tube will retract to a red thing, and so it'll just become that. So the redness will spread. That's all the operations. Now let's form the associated gradient. Gradient is the same kind of has the same kind of combinatorial description as it always does. We once again denoted by AW, and these are four arrow diagrams. On WTF skeleta modulo relations. So what does this mean? WTF skeleta just means that it's some tangle, but forget the embeddings, forget the crossings, just retain the combinatorics of what was tangled in the first place, including the information of 2D or 1D. And arrow diagrams is the same as Jacobi diagrams previously, except the chords are oriented, that hence they are called arrows. And the relations are the same as previously, except they are oriented versions of the old relations. So it's like a 40 arrow relation and I flex arrow relation and so on and so forth. And there's also the VI arrow relation, vertex invariance, where it's, you know, attach an arrow, either head or tail, on here or here or here, that comes to zero. Again, I won't go into this in too much detail. This actually has a, that was a planar algebra, this has a planar algebra description, a finite presentation. But it takes a while to write down, so I read enough. One thing I'd like to say is the first point of specific connection to Antonin Taurasian's work is that it turns out that AW of just n strands, so what I mean by this is that it's just the skeleton is just n strands, so just a tangle without vertices and stuff. This is isomorphic to the universal enveloping algebra of cyclic words on n letters, semi-direct product with tangential derivations plus something easy. I will not say why, just kind of flush this fact. So a small notational comment. When I write AW of something, like AW of n lines, that thing in the parentheses is the skeleton. So that just means arrow diagrams on that specific skeleton modulo Alright, so how do we find the homomorphic expansion? Well, we have to find values for all the generators of WTF. And there was 16 of them, but it turns out that most of them are either trivial, like their value is no arrows, no chords, or easy to predetermine, like for a crossing, it's like an exponential of an arrow, like in three dimensions, like for braids, you have the exponential of the chord over two. So those things are easy. The only non-trivial ones turn out to be the vertex and the cap. The only non-trivial generators to find values for. The vertex and the cap. So let's say z of this, we call it v, and z of this, let's call it c. So this is an arrow diagram on that skeleton, and this is an arrow diagram on that skeleton. I lied a little bit earlier when I told you about the generators. They're actually different kinds of vertices. These two main different kinds of vertices, which differ in the sign. The sign is determined by some sort of orientation thing. But it turns out that the z of the other one is the inverse of this one, so it's okay. Actually, what I just said shouldn't make sense, because what do I mean by inverse? This is not a group. So let me tell you another bit of information. If you have an arrow diagram on this skeleton, you can use the VI relation to push all the arrow endings from this top strand to the other two strands. So A of this, meaning arrow diagrams on this skeleton, is actually the same as A on just two strands. So you can interpret V as being in arrow diagrams on just two strands. And then when I say inverse, it makes sense because two strands you can do stacking, so there's a notion of inverse. And it turns out that the R4 relation which was this, so it involves V and it involves exponentials, is equivalent to the number 1 KB equation. So V is F. Almost, sorry. So if you find a V, you have found an F. And the other KB equation involves some power series F, so that J of V is F of X plus F of Y plus F of B C H X Y. That F is twice the log of C, or 1/2, negative 2 times the log of C. So the cap has to do with the other KV equation, and what actually gives you the other KV equation the same way that Weidemeister 4 gives the number 1 KV equation, that's the Y equals. So the topology that gives you that other condition is the homomorphicity of unzip and this unzip. But I won't go into that. Okay, so what we have sort of shown so far is that there's a bijection between homomorphic expansions for these WTFs and solutions to the KV problem, and this is already written in a paper by Jordan, myself, and an archive. But the rest of the talk, which is how to use this to actually prove that solutions exist, is in progress of writing. KTGs to WTF, the map, combinatorially speaking, it's obvious what it is. Any KTG picture I give you, you can interpret it as a WTF picture. The pictures look exactly the same, except WTF have more features. But if they only have less features, that still makes sense. So whenever you have a strand, you replace it by a tube. Whenever you have a crossing, you replace it by flying through. You can interpret this map topologically, but it takes a little thinking through. So maybe I will not go into it. For braids, it's kind of spinning. So take the braid and spin it around the t coordinate and the fourth coordinate in R4, and then you get exactly this. So, at the very beginning, I already wrote this diagram on the board.
You did not say where you send the trivalent to the vertex?
You send it to the vertex. What we want to do is to take a ZU and kind of extend it to a ZW so that this diagram can use. And we want to show that the generated of KTG, kind of, or not the generator, but KTG, the image of KTG generates, or it gives you the generators of WTF by applying four-dimensional operations. Now, this would be so easy if instead of this awkward space, we worked with just normal, usual tribal rectangles. So by this I mean the planar algebra generated by the just the crossings and nothing else, right?
The vertex.
Right, so no virtuals, no caps, no strings, just normal tangles in the plane with triangular vertices. So that would be a much nicer version of KTGs, right? KTGs are sort of an awkward version of that. Instead, we could do planar algebra, unzip is defined here, orientation switch is defined here, so it would be so nice. So why don't we do this? Why are we making our own lives so painful? That is because this space does not have a homomorphic expansion. So the existence of a homomorphic expansion is a very non-trivial thing and it's not at all guaranteed. This one doesn't have one, and we work with KTGs because it's the nicest appropriate space that has one. So we have some choice. We could work with quasi-tangles or some equivalent or more or less equivalent spaces. We choose this for aesthetic reasons and because it makes this map the nicest. But the fact that we work with something painful as opposed to something nice is forced. And in particular, what we are looking for here the most is the vertex. We want to find the value of the vertex and the cap. But the cap is sort of less important and more technical. Main thing is the vertex, and the vertex is not a KTG because it has too many ends. Okay, so we have to somehow come up with the vertex from the image of KTGs. So here's the theorem. This is a topological proof of the KD problem. Okay.
Let's say it's a proof, but it's a topological proof, assuming there are no further relations, right? In this.
Well, that's a somewhat a matter of what you call topological. So the argument itself is topological. This this space WTF I've given in terms of generators and relations, and clearly it's something topological, but exactly what it is just a conjecture. So in some sense, maybe it's overstating the case to call it topological, because the exact topological description is not clear, but the sort of locally everything is topological. And locally, like, all the relations have topological meaning, and the whole construction is done in...
No, but just in theory, if there are some further complicated relations, right? This may kind of
well,
part
if,
of
if
the,
there's yeah, so if there's further complicated relations for this, so okay, so there's the Rademeister description, and there's the topological description. The isomorphism between the two is conjectural. Now, the Rademeister description is definitely the thing which is gives you equivalent to KV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing we want.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if the conjecture is not true, the thing to do is not to add another relation and mess up KV, but figure out what the actual topological space is. So maybe there's some extra framing,
mm-hmm.
maybe there's some, I don't know, dots or crosses or extra combinatorial.
No, but just to be clear, the topological, this theorem is independent of the conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this theorem only works with the Rademeister, the planar algebra presentation. So it's not dependent on the conjecture.
Yeah, but that is a response to four-dimensional objects that we're talking about. This depends a little bit.
Yes.
Slightly on the.
So let me give you, I'll give you an idea at least of number one, and if there's time, then I'll say a word about number three. So we have a ZU, and we want to construct B, and to some extent C, assuming ZW exists. Okay? So what we'll use is this KTV, which, if you cover the bottom and the top, is the same as what Pavel and Joran others have already mentioned. Joran, I like to call it the buckle. So this is in...
You didn't write the orientation of the crossing.
Oh.
You made it virtual, it's not.
Ah, yeah. ZU to this thing, and that gives you something that I'll denote by beta, because we call this the buckle, and this is an A. Now, I can send this over to WTF. This actually makes sense as a WTF diagram, except now topologically it means something different. And I had assumed that ZW exists, so I know that the ZW, and furthermore it's compatible, so I know that the ZW value of this is alpha of beta u, where alpha is just the induced map I. Now, I'll do a bunch of operations to this thing which makes sense in WTF. So the first is a planar algebra operation, which is the attaching of the vertex. I attach it to the bottom. Like that. Now that sends this to alpha of beta u with multiplied by a v. Now what I mean by this is now I can do virtual because that's in core diagram, so it no longer matters. So this means that alpha beta u is something arrow diagram on that, and the value of a vertex is an arrow diagram here. Now you might think I've already got myself into trouble because I have something which already includes v, but I'm looking for v, so that's a bad sign. But I'll kill it in the next step. So the next step is unzip this edge, attach a cap here, and puncture the entire left side. So what it ends up is a thing like that, where now half of it is red. And there's a lemma which is not too hard to prove, which says that the left side punctured vertex is trivial. So what this goes to by Z with ZW, by the compatibility of, by the homomorphicity of ZW, is puncture alpha beta u, and I've attached the cap. Okay? And finally, we unzip this part and disunzip this part, and what this becomes is that, and now we can compute what's here two ways. Okay? Either by this arrow, which is the unzip of p of alpha of, actually the unzip one we apply to the cap. So p of alpha of beta u times unzip of cap, and that equals, we can also compute what this is simply from ZW, because this is a really simple diagram. So this is what? There's a vertex here, there's two caps, and there's also, I guess, vertices here, but these are left punctured vertices, which I've said are trivial. So all we have is the vertex and the two caps, so this is V times cap square. Okay, so we have an equation which expresses some combination of vertex and caps in terms of ZU. So there's two further challenges. Challenge number one is that the skeleton is not the right skeleton. So I want the equation to have to be on just two strands, and instead, okay, I can push everything from this one using vertex invariance, but the bottom of these two strands have a cap and a string, and there's a lemma which says that that is in fact, A of that is isomorphic to A of just a normal strand. So this is just two strands. And furthermore, what we got is some combination of B and C, and we have to separate them, and that's a little bit technical but not hard. So let me say just one word about how the other two goes. This is an exercise in translation, it's nothing special. But this one, we got V and C from ZU, so we only have to check now that they satisfy the Cauchy-Wernigerian equations, or the Reitemeister 4 and other homomorphicity equations. So, well, that's a pretty big only, because these equations are rather complicated. And the space that they live in is very complicated. So for this, one has to come up with a new approach. And that new approach has to do with this original dream of using just UTT, so normal, usual trivial entangles. So why would UTT be much better? UTT is a planar algebra itself, and Rademeister 4, I wish I still had the diagram, but Rademeister 4 is a planar algebra relation, right? It's a planar algebra product of the crossing and the vertex, or the vertex and two crossings. So if I had UTT and a homomorphic expansion, which is a planar algebra map, and A, which is a planar algebra map, and I know that this homomorphic expansion satisfies Rademeister 4, then it would all be trivial. Well, that's not, it's not, but what we do is we construct a map from UTT to KTG called double tree. It's called double tree because it takes a tangle and then it attaches two binary trees. And then we follow this up. Now we can apply ZU, and then we follow that up with some caps and punctures in a similar vein to that. And that whole sequence of map in the end ends up in AW the same way as this whole sequence of map ended up in AW, and this whole sequence is a planar algebra map. So for that, it's obvious that Rademeister 4 holds. Well, you have to prove that it's a planar algebra map, which is not obvious, but after that it's obvious. And that's basically it. Then you prove that the value of the vertex that you get from this is the same value as you get from that, and you know that that's the same as Alexei Rodriguez-Sorosky. So that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, perhaps give us some relatively short questions. Of course, we can follow more detailed questions to the trip, right? But some.
Yeah, so in KD, so usually you have this equation, the divergence, and has to do with the trace space. And shortly, what would be the translation of all this business in the topological world?
Yes,
yeah,
so okay, divergence is it has a pretty nice phrasing in terms of chord diagrams, so, or arrow diagram. So you take an arrow type diagram, which is just a tree, and you have a condition which Dror mentioned yesterday for his W quotient, that every vertex is two in, one out. So if you have a tree, that means that the tree only has one head and everything else is trails, everything else is tails. So div is basically taking the same tree with the ends are numbered by the strands, and then you attach it so that the head is on top, minus you attach it so that the head is on bottom. That's kind of the translation of div. And then you have a corresponding translation of J. The action of tether on cyclic words is taking, so tether is represented by trees, and then you take a cyclic word which is represented by one of these wheel diagrams, and you commute it across, and you pay some price, and the price is what the action is. So everything translates in this kind of diagrammatic way.
Okay. Well, I think maybe at this point we should kind of postpone the questions to the trip. Thanks a lot.